Acts 18, verse 24. Please join with me in reading every other verse. I'll start in verse 24, and you join with me every other, down to the end of the chapter. Acts 18, 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. Let's read 28 as well. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Let's pray, and then you can be seated. Thank you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the meeting already. Lord, it's just a blessing to be able to sing the hymns of in our book to the Lord, to you, and with one another, family of God. Lord, we praise you for that. Lord, again, we thank you for the time of prayer in this meeting. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that we would never minimize prayer, that we would always maximize it. It's so important in our life. Our walk with you is vital. And now, Lord, I need your Holy Spirit. I always need your Holy Spirit, whether we all need your Holy Spirit, whether we're the speaker or the listener today. And I pray you'd help us not to, be concerned about what happened yesterday, if there was something that was not supposed to happen and we're worried about it, or something that's coming that we really don't know if it will happen or not. I pray that your Holy Spirit would guard our minds and hearts as we open God's Word and continue opening God's Word. Thank you for what your Word has already helped us with as we've read it here publicly twice. We pray that it would not come back void today in each of our lives here or anyone joining us online. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I also wanted to mention that we have restarted activity for young men ages 8 to 18, I guess. Years and years ago, Pastor Mackay and I used to do a kind of a basketball, whatever, practice, league, whatever. And we did that for, we did it for probably, I don't know how many years, 7 or 8 years at least, if not longer. But that was about 10 years ago, I think. Maybe not quite that long ago, but it's been a long time. And a lot of dust on my basketball when I got it out. But anyway, we're doing that again. We had our first kind of a practice this past Thursday. Right now, if you'd pray with me, so that means anyone age 8 to 18, young man, you're eligible to be a part of it. Right now, there's no cost because we're meeting outside, just like we met outside for church. But we are trying to get the gym at Salvation Army on Caribou on Mondays. We don't have that yet, but we're praying that God would give us that. So we are going to meet this Tuesday, weather permitting, and at the same location over here at the Edmonds School at 4 o'clock, at 4 o'clock. And so all of you that are within that age group, we want you to come and be a part of it if it's something that interests you. Okay, Acts 18, 24, 28, as we continue through this great book of Scripture. This morning, I'd like to speak to you on this theme, unlikely teachers used greatly by God. Unlikely teachers used greatly by God. I think you'll find that all through the Scripture, that there are unlikely people that God uses mightily, because it's not about what our qualifications are, whether we can be mightily used of God. Really, availability is what God is looking for. Am I available for God to use me? Am I available for God to help me to teach someone else? These are really newer Christians that we're kind of going to be studying about today, also looking at Apollos a little bit. I'm thankful that it doesn't matter our background. It doesn't matter what our resume looks like, so to speak. And I'm talking about spiritually speaking. God is more than capable of taking you and taking me, surrendered to Him, and helping anyone that God leads us to. So I'm just thankful for influence. I'm thankful for many that have had influence in my life. And I've made this statement over and over again, and I, I hope to say it until I'm in heaven, and that is this, that everyone has influence. Everyone has influence. It isn't the pastor only. It isn't whoever you think of. No, your life touches someone. Your life will touch someone today. It already has. Your life will touch someone this week. Should the Lord tarry and he lets you live. This happens constantly. You know, someone this week is going to need your love. I guarantee you, someone is going to need your love. And by the way, you and I are not capable of loving apart from his love. So someone is going to need my love this week, and I need to make sure that I recognize how wonderful and mighty God's love is for me. We love him simply because he first loved us. Someone is going to need my love this week. Someone is going to need your encouragement this week. You say, well, I'm the one that needs it. Well, you know what Luke 6:38 says? It says this, give and it shall be given unto you. I don't think that's only talking about financial help. I think that's talking about anything and everything. If you need encouragement today, to me, the Bible makes it clear, the quickest way to get encouragement is to give encouragement. The quickest way to get love is to give love, because then God's word is under contract, isn't it? It's under contract. It hasn't failed yet. It never will fail. It never will fail. When we give, God promises to give us back. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give back to us. Someone's going to need my encouragement. Someone might even need our correction. Someone might need to be corrected, right? All right, let's all be honest. We're all going to need to be corrected this week, okay? Someone might need us to say to them, and obviously from a heart of love, hey, look, this is not the way you want to go. You don't want to be going this direction. You don't want to be living this way. You don't want to make that decision. Someone is going to need your influence. I want my influence to be not of me, but of Christ in me, the hope of glory. So it's God working in me, as we just sang, the light of the world is Jesus. And he gives his light to us to shine to anyone else and everyone else. And so we can be a great influence. I'm convinced that it does not take a high level of education to make a positive influence. It does not take a high level of any kind of biblical or secular education to make an influence. Everyone can be influential on others. That's what we see in our text. We see a couple that were very influential, and little did they realize who they were influencing when it would come to the history and the future history of the first century church. This man, Apollos. I'll tell you what it does take, though, to make an influence. It takes compassion. It takes compassion. Jude, right? The book of Jude says, and of some having compassion. Let's go over there quickly and look at it. Jude. Go to the next to the last book of the Bible. Maybe you need to mark it in your Bible. You definitely need to let it be marked in your heart, and I do too, and I need to be reminded of it very often. Verse 22 of the book of Jude, chapter number 1. Amen? Jude chapter number 1. Here we go, verse 22. It's 9 o'clock, folks. There might be some of that here, okay? Just making sure you're awake. Jude, verse 22, all right, here we go. And of some have compassion. And when they have compassion, what do they have? What do they make? It's right there. They make a difference. Look, folks, let's not minimize the contacts that God has given you and that God has given me. And I'm not talking about the one in your eyeballs, okay? Let's not minimize the contacts that God brings us across on any given week. There's an opportunity to have compassion, which will lead to making a difference, which will influence them for the glory of God. I don't know what was going on in the head of Aquila and Priscilla here. I don't know exactly what they were thinking, but they allowed God to use them in a mighty way. And the early church, the first century church, greatly appreciated it. does not take compassion. I'll tell you another thing. It does take compassion. Pardon me. It does take compassion to make an influence, to make a difference. I'll tell you another thing it takes. It takes patience. Patience. Hurry up and get there, right? That's all we are. You know, Friday night, if you were out driving around Friday afternoon, you know what? I don't care how fast you wanted to drive, unless you had a, you know, six-wheeled Tonka truck that could crush every vehicle. We saw a six-wheeled van yesterday. It had three axles. I've never seen anything like that. I mean, like driving down the road type thing. It wasn't a big, like a motorhome. It was a, I don't know what, well, do you know what? Did you see it, Pastor? What was that? A Toyota? Like somebody added an axle to it? Wow. It was really neat. So that might have helped sailing down the road on Friday night. But the meeting was supposed to start at 7, and you know how we are. We all want to be put. Every once in a while, God just says, you know what? Just back off. Whenever it's time to start, just start it. You know what? That's trying to help. You know, you helping me helping you. We have to be patient. We have to be patient with one another. I just really want this one to get saved. I just really want this someone to get saved. I just really want this. Yes, God wants them to get saved. Did you ever think about this? God wants them to get saved more than you. God wants them to get saved more than me. So we've got to be patient. To make a difference, it's going to take patience. It's going to take compassion. Well, here we see in the middle of Luke's writing, we believe Dr. Luke wrote this book. And here, right in the middle of his writing, for the longest time, he's been telling us about Paul. And right here in the middle of his writing, he kind of pauses and puts the emphasis off of Paul for a moment. Of course, we know the Holy Spirit of God told him to write this, and he puts the emphasis off of Paul, and he puts it on this godly couple. This couple did not have much of a religious education. This couple, and I'm not saying this in a degrading way, they were tent makers. This couple, obviously, were contemporaries of the Apostle Paul. This couple had housed the Apostle Paul. This couple, I'm sure, had learned from the Apostle Paul. They had watched him. And again, this is a great illustration. I wasn't really thinking about this until right now. This is a great illustration of how our influence doesn't just stop with that individual. You see, Paul influenced Aquila and Priscilla, and then Aquila and Priscilla are going to influence Apollos. Do you see how it goes step by step of the way? It's not just with who we think we're influencing. It's the next group. It's the next group. It's the next one. I dare say, and I've got so much more to learn about God and His goodness and grace, but I dare say that when I was a little Sunday school boy in the Sunday school class, I don't know, maybe my teacher, I remember she's in heaven today, one of my teachers, Mrs. Cook, in grade 5 and grade 6 in the Sunday school class. I don't know what she saw in us boys. I don't know what she saw, but her influence still lives on in my life. How many years later? I don't have time to do the math. I can't do math this early. So many years later, her influence still lives on in my life. And I would think that my life influencing someone else, again, to God be all the glory. I'm just saying, though, little did she know. So I'm encouraging us today to not lose sight as we're talking to someone and we're influencing someone. We don't know where God's going to take them. We don't know how God is going to influence them. This incident took place in the city of Ephesus, okay, as we learned already. I found this quote as we continue on. Jewish pilgrims who came to Jerusalem in the days before our Lord's ministry heard John the Baptist preach. This is talking about Apollos. They heard John the Baptist preach that the Messiah was soon to come. They recognized the fulfillment of the Old Testament messianic prophecies in the person and work of Jesus. These pilgrims would carry back a report of the preaching of John and the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. This is where Apollos was impacted originally. He would have been someone who had heard this message that we just quoted there and believed. He had an amazing resume, humanly speaking, as it says here in our text, Acts 18:24, and we're going to look at that in just a minute. That's our first point, okay? So that's the introduction. Let's jump into the outline now, all right? So he's humanly speaking, very qualified. So number one is the resume of Apollos. Notice the resume of Apollos. Now remember, I think it was last week when we talked about striving together. Remember even in that lesson who they were saying? Remember in 1 Corinthians? They were having problems there. Well, I got saved because of Paul. And then what was the other group saying? Apollos, same guy. Same guy. So think about it. Here he is. He's got most of the message, but he needs a little help. He's got most of the message, but he needs a little refining, so to speak. But yet he has all of the, mannerisms. That's not what I want. Mannerisms, speaking ability, and all of that. But he needs a little bit more discipleship, so to speak. He needs a little more help, and that's what we're going to look at here in a little while. So let's just take a quick look at his resume. First off, that tells us here that he was born in Alexandria. Born in Alexandria. This is in the Lower Egypt area. You can probably guess who named Alexandria. Alexandria. Alexander the Great gave it the name. Okay? It says here that he was mighty in the scriptures. That word mighty there means that he was strong in soul. I mean, this is someone. Now remember, didn't have the scriptures completed. He would have had the Old Testament at best. He would have had the law for sure. He didn't have the 66 books that we have today. But the Bible says that what he had, he was a student of. You know, isn't that something that we need to be reminded of from time to time? That we never stop being a student of the Word of God. That we never stop saying, there's, you know, I was reading this morning in, where was I reading? Was it Jeremiah? Go over to Jeremiah. Was it Jeremiah? Jeremiah, let's see. I want to just show you something. Oh man, it challenged me. Go over to Jeremiah 26. I think this is it. If I forgot already, it must not have challenged me. No, it challenged me. Okay. Yeah, this is it. This is in our, if you're following along in our group Bible reading, this was one of the chapters this morning, Jeremiah 26. And oh my goodness. Notice what it says here. Just quickly, I want to show you something God challenged me about. Verse 2, thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, Jeremiah 26, 2, and speak unto all the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house. So they're having a church meeting. And all the words that I command thee. So God tells Jeremiah, remember, he didn't have a Bible. He had direct revelation. But remember, we have a more sure word of prophecy today. We have the Word of God. So that's better than what he had. Okay? But God says, okay, look at the end of the verse 2. Diminish not a word. Don't miss a word. Wow. Look at verse 3. If so be, they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings, if they will. Thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, if you will not hearken to me, to walk in my law, I have set before you, verse 5, to hearken to the words of my servant. Verse 6, just want to keep going here. Then will I make this house like Shiloh. I will make this city a curse. This is the message he's got to go to church and deliver. Oh my. Verse 7. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking. Verse 8. This is it. I'm not going to go any further because it's kind of getting on a rabbit trail. But it's one I guess the Lord wants us on. Look at verse 8. Now it came to pass. Jeremiah had made an end of speaking. All that the Lord had commanded him to speak. Well, I tell you what, when God challenges us to speak, I don't think this is just to the pastor, Jeremiah. I think this is to the people of God. That when God gives us a message, we need to deliver that message, not for the sake of the people, but for the sake of being obedient to our God. And when Jeremiah, he's finished the message, verse 8. So what did God teach me? Be obedient to God. When God says say something, say it. When God says say something, don't leave out a word. Don't leave out anything. Just give what God says. And the verse number 9 and verse number 8. And the priests and the prophets and all the people. Now this is where God, whoa, all the people took him. They patted him on the back and said, thank you for that message. That's not what I'm reading. This is the people at church. Hello. Don't get any ideas, okay? No, I'm just kidding. He said, thou shalt surely die. We're going to kill you. If you read down through the chapter, and it's, oh man, it, wow, you talk about a wake up early this morning. When I was reading that chapter, I was awake real quick. They didn't kill him, but my soul. You know, this is this book right here. Every time we read it, it's got something new for us. Every time we read it, it's manna, it's meat, it's fruit, it's milk. It's got something for us. And God help you and God help me to be teachable. This man that Aquila and Priscilla approached had a really good resume. The Bible tells us that. But he was willing to learn. Also, what do we learn, okay? He was skilled in speech. He was skilled in speech. Next thing, we learn that he was fervent in spirit. Fervent in spirit. What's the word fervent? Another word for fervent is the word zealous. Zealous. I think we could use some more of this in our modern day Christianity. How about you? Zealous. We got a lot of fans in this world. And I'm not talking about that fan or this fan. I'm talking about fans of sports. They're fanatics. Right? I kind of can be a fan at times of sports, and nothing wrong with that in its rightful place. But if we're more zealous for something temporal than we are for something eternal, oh God help me. God help us. No, we need to be zealous for the things of the Lord. I wrote this. We need some fanatics for Jesus. Zealous of good works. Zealous to speak. Zealous to pray. Zealous to serve. This is Apollos. He was zealous for the Lord. More than likely, he was baptized by John the Baptist. Baptized by John the Baptist. It even tells us here in verse 25 that he only knew the baptism of John the Baptist. He was limited in that he only knew about this much. Now, what was John the Baptist's message? You know, there's one coming after me. Repent and believe. So it's the right message. Don't get me wrong. But Apollos needed a little bit of help here, and he was limited at this point. And this is where I believe God just challenged me as well, and I wrote this down. We all have limitations. Embrace the limitation and allow God to help you to overcome it. Thank God that he gives us limitations, by the way. Because if we didn't have any limitations, I know how I am at times, and I'm sure you would agree that you as well, we would all get an inflated head. Pride would just take over. But I'm so glad God has given me limitations and I recognize them anew and afresh and say, God, thank you. I need help in this area. Please help me. This is a limitation. He was limited. He needed help. He needed to be taught. I wonder today, are we willing to humble ourselves and be teachable? So number one is the resume of Apollos. Number two is the mentoring of Aquila and Priscilla. The mentoring. Verse 26. Acts 18:26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. This is Apollos. Okay, and in the audience is Aquila and Priscilla. And they're listening. Okay. Notice it says that they took him unto them. Okay. I think more than likely this is saying that they said, hey, Apollos, how about you come to our house today? You know, for a spot of tea, right? How about you come to our house today for lunch? How about you come to our house? We'd like to talk to you. And so they took him unto them. Now, also, in thinking and looking at this statement, and looking it up and reading about it, they took him unto them means that in addition to, they took him unto them. What does that mean? Here's what it meant to me. It meant they made time. They made time in their schedule for Apollos. I'm just too busy. I'm glad that Aquila and Priscilla were not too busy for Apollos. And they took him unto them. In addition to whatever else they had to do, they made time for him. In order to be that influence that God wants us to have, we must be willing to make time for others. Here's three quick things to write down. What does mentoring require? Number one, mentoring requires selflessness. Selflessness. Oh, I tell you, we had 17 young people in grade 7 to grade 12. 17 from Anchor Baptist Church. It's been a long time since we've had that many. And it doesn't have to be 17. It could be 3. Okay? But praise the Lord for 17. 17 kids from this church, from your home, from my home, that gathered together for 2 days and listened to 4 sermons. What teenager wants to sit around and listen to 4 sermons? I'm glad we had 17 from Anchor that said, okay, I don't know, maybe they didn't have a choice, but that's okay. That's okay. Mentoring takes selflessness. I echo Pastor Nathan's appreciation of everyone that prayed. These meetings are a time of mentoring. One-on-one sometimes. Asking questions sometimes in a vehicle or wherever. At the altar praying with someone. Just trying to encourage. We have to be willing to come out of ourselves. Think about what it took to go up to the preacher. Think about that. Have you ever thought about this? They go up to the preacher at the synagogue who's been speaking boldly, and they notice something in his message was missing. I think it took some courage. I don't have that written down, but it would take courage. But of the right spirit. And so, selflessness. Number two, mentoring requires service. It requires service, meaning we got to be a servant. Think about your Christian life today. If you could take a piece of paper and write out your Christian life for the week, where would there be some mentoring in there? Where would there be a time of service in there? Where would there be a time of equipping of your own walk with God? I hope you're able to follow and be a part of the Wednesday night meetings because God's doing a great work. We have a missionary coming this Wednesday, so we'll put that on pause probably until next Wednesday, God willing. But looking forward to having our missionary here this Wednesday. But what would your week look like? Is there what in there is for God? We have 168 hours in a week. What's set aside for the Lord? Takes service. Thirdly, mentoring takes sacrifice. It takes. I even hesitate to use that word. How about you? Sacrifice. Think about the word. Sacrifice. I don't know if I really understand that word. I understand it to my level, but so many others understand it to a far greater level. It takes sacrifice, a willingness to give of ourselves. You see, one of the greatest gifts that you can give to your children, if you have children in your home, or if you don't have children in your home, they're now out of your home already, because they still watch dad, they still watch mom, that never changes. But one of the greatest examples, one of the greatest gifts, we can give someone is a godly example. A godly example. I would imagine, along with the teaching of Aquila and Priscilla, not only did they sit down with him and teach him, we don't really know how much time goes by here, but I would also have to imagine, again, I'm just kind of imagining or thinking about it, that it was also that they showed him how to live the Christian life. Not just teaching him in words, but living and working and witnessing and doing all of this, not in words of man, not in man's wisdom, but in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. He's just learning about the Holy Spirit, right? That's part of what's being told to him here in this text. Notice the word says, the Bible says that they expounded. Look at that word in verse 26. They expounded. It means they explained. Explain. May we be that for someone. May we explain to someone what God's doing in our heart. what God's doing in our life. Remember, I said this earlier, kind of a repeat, but they had learned from the Apostle Paul. And now it was time for them to teach others also. Now it was time for them to pass on what God had given them. Apollos, he was educated. Apollos, he had it all. But he was willing to sit down and listen and learn from this really not nearly as educated couple. Again, don't worry about what you can't do. Just trust the Lord. God will enable you to do something beyond your imagination if we just surrender to Him. And I think for them to even step out and approach Him, again, I keep coming back to that because it's really challenging me, took great boldness and took great courage. But God was working in that heart of Apollos. They gave him the information in that moment that would enable him to become one of the outstanding preachers in the first century. What if they hadn't done that? What if they had just said, okay, well, you know, somebody else will deal with that. Somebody else, somebody else, somebody else. No, God's Spirit told them, you need to go talk to him today. You need to bring him to your house. You need to get the teapot going. You need to get some cookies out. And you need to sit down and tell him what Paul told you. They didn't have the Bible, but what did they have? They had the message that Paul from the Lord had given to them and just continued to pass it on. And Apollos would boldly proclaim the Scripture from this point on. He would have already bold, but he needed a little more information. He would start churches all across the Roman Empire. But it comes back to a couple of tent makers. It comes back to Aquila and Priscilla, who just said, okay, whatever you have for me, Lord, we're going to go and do it. So we have the resume of Apollos. We have the mentoring of Aquila and Priscilla, lastly, which leads to the preaching of Apollos, verses 27 and 28. Notice it says, verse 27, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. Do you see this? Paul, it's not in this text, but we know that Paul mentored Aquila and Priscilla. They brought him in the home. He taught them, even added to them from what they had heard. And now Aquila and Priscilla, they pass it on to Apollos, and now Apollos takes it to the church in Achaia there, and he helps those who had been saved by grace. And by the way, this continues today. This same formula continues today. One person passes it on and passes it on and passes it on. This is why we must be diligent in teaching the next generation the things of the Word of God, those that are even newly saved, the things of the Word of God. Verse 28, for he mightily convinced the Jews. He mightily convinced the Jews. And that publicly showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Now we have, now Apollos has, if you will, the rest of the story. Apollos has the full package now, and he's ready to go. He's been taught, he's been encouraged, he's been mentored, and now he delivers a helpful message. By the way, we've been talking about this on the Wednesday night, and I pray for this regularly, but preaching the Word of God is not just delivering information. I don't want preaching to be delivering information. We heard four sermons. Yes, we got a lot of biblical information. We learned some things from the Bible. Nothing wrong with that. But we want our preaching and we want our teaching to be giving the message of transformation. Go with me, please, in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is why it was so important that Apollos be mentored by Aquila and Priscilla. He wasn't just going to take that information and tuck it away. He was going to take that information and the next time out, he was going to say, thus saith the Lord. Our preaching and our teaching and our life, we're not just delivering information. We want to be giving life-changing words, and they are wonderful words of life. I was thinking about that song earlier today in the service, you know, wonderful words of life in our hymn book. Beautiful words, wonderful words. Wonderful words of life. Paul wrote to Timothy in his last of his writings. This is, many believe, the last chapter, if you want to call it. He's about ready to go. He gives Timothy the last words, and he says, one of his last words to Timothy was, verse 2, preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Okay, the word reprove. The word reprove means to convict. I don't convict, but the word of God does. That's why we said earlier that sometimes when we're going to make a difference, we have to correct someone to make a difference. Reprove, then rebuke, means to charge sharply. And then exhort means to encourage and strengthen. Do you recognize that, really? We like the third one, don't we? We like to be encouraged, and we should be. But do you notice that the challenge that Paul gave to young Timothy in the ministry, two-thirds of the challenge, really we would look at it as being more of a kind of a negative. It's not negative, but we would look at it that way, that we don't like to be reproved. We don't like to be convicted. We don't like to be charged sharply. But two-thirds of the message that Paul was to give, or Timothy was to give, it was to be more that. And then coming along behind that was the strength and the encouragement. Turn over to Ephesians 4, please. The preaching of Apollos. This does tie in. I'm learning. As I'm speaking, to God be the glory, I'm seeing where Jeremiah 26 ties into this now. Amazing, really, how God brought that chapter in the Bible reading this morning, Jeremiah 26, because it ties right in with the preaching of Apollos. It ties right in with the Lord, what Paul told Timothy and how to do it. Just speak what I tell you to speak, Jeremiah. Ephesians chapter 4. Boy, be thankful for the way God works. God never makes a mistake. God never has woken up or looked around and said, uh-oh, I can't believe that happened. God has never done that. God never will do that. He has a purpose and a plan. He has a sovereign will for my life and your life. I may not understand it all the time. I mean, I don't understand why John LaBelle really is dying right now. A missionary to Sierra Leone, just got there, just got land, just got the container there. I was following his journey in the last year, and now he's almost in heaven. Why? I don't know why. I don't know why. God can raise him up. I don't know why. That's the sovereign plan of God. I don't doubt the sovereign plan of God. I know that God is good. But within the sovereign plan of God is, guess what? The free will of man. Man does choose. I choose. You choose. We all choose. And even in that, God can take things and work them together for good. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. Look at Ephesians 4:11. I guess he does it because he's all-powerful. Amen? He's God. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity. Here's what we must continue to have in Anchor Baptist Church, the unity of the faith, strong in faith, unified together. For the cause of Christ and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. That word there, as you probably know, means mature. Mature. Doesn't mean sinless. You know, I find when I get to hanging around teenagers for a little while, for a couple of days, I begin to start acting like a teenager again. What's said in the van stays in the van, guys. I had to make sure the cameras were not rolling. I didn't say anything inappropriate, but you know, when you're with teenagers, come on now, it's okay. There have been in the past some things recorded on video camera in the youth van going to activities, and so we want to keep those in the archive. We don't want those coming out again. I'm so thankful for the opportunity that we have to mature together in Christ. It isn't that somebody's up here and somebody's down here. No, we're all together, walking together, coming into the maturity of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Him, it says. Look at verse 13. We're not measuring ourselves among ourselves. So the preaching of the Word of God is saying, hey, let's be more like Christ. Hey, let's talk more like Christ. Hey, let's walk more like Christ. That's the kind of preaching that I need. That's the kind of preaching that I believe Apollos delivered. 1 Corinthians 1:18, the Bible says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Foolishness. Maybe you've met someone that thinks that way. Pray for them. Be patient and pray and pray and pray. It's foolishness, but unto us, it is which are saved, it is the power of God. The message that Apollos delivered was a biblical message. John 5:39, God's Word says, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Let's go lastly over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy, we were just there a minute ago. Back to 2 Timothy chapter 4 again. The last of the writing. Right underneath that verse that we looked at earlier, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Again, you could write Jeremiah right there. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. It's a slow burn, is what long suffering means. Slow burn. Patience, remember, it takes to make a difference. Then look what he said, and doctrine. Don't go away from the Scriptures. Well, this is what I think. Okay, you know what? Sometimes there are things we can say like that. But the better way of putting it is, look at what God's Word says. Look at what God's Word says. God's Word says this and this and this. And it doesn't change. I like what one of the men prayed this morning. The world never changes, but the world always changes, but God's Word is still the same. I mean, the world today is crazy. Absolutely crazy, the world. The philosophy of the world, absolutely crazy. But guess what? That's okay. I don't need to really focus on that. I just focus on this. Because this hasn't changed a bit. This book, when you open it up, it didn't change because the world's crazy. It didn't change because Satan is messing with the minds of the lost and he's trying to blind them even a greater way from the truth. Folks, let's focus on the truth. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Thanks be to God we have this book. Look at verse 3, though. We've got to wrap this up. Verse 3, for the time will come. For the time will come when they will not endure what? Sound doctrine. Part of it was in Jeremiah's day. Jeremiah, you're dead. We're going to kill you. For preaching the truth. For preaching right what God told him to preach. But after their own lusts, desires, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And notice this, they shall turn away their ears from the truth. And they'll turn them to fables. Oh, may God help us at Anchor Baptist Church to always turn our ears to truth. To always turn our ears to whatever this book says. It might be a hard pill to swallow, but swallow it. It's good for you. It's the Word of God. The gospel has never failed anybody. It's healed everyone. We live in a day, though, where truth is challenged all the time. And I know I need that challenge. Do I really believe what I say? You know, think about it. Do we really believe what we say? Apollos, he could tell us today, Anchor Baptist Church, it hadn't been that couple. One day in the synagogue there in Ephesus, I was waxing eloquent. I was getting all those big words out. I was talking about the things of the Lord. I was talking about the Word of God.
And after that meeting, this very humble couple, they came up to me and said, "Can you come to our house today? We'd like to talk to you." He would say that was the turning point. I remember going to Miss Brother Aquila and Sister Priscilla's house. Oh, they had the best coffee in town. He made the best Fig Newton bars. Had to be figs, right? Something fig. It was on that day. On that day. I can take you right back there. I can show you. And when they taught me what they had heard from Paul, I got the complete package, the complete story. And from then on, all the way till Jesus comes, all the way till I was in heaven, comes back to an unlikely couple, who gave of themselves. And because they gave of themselves, a young man was set on fire of God and start churches all over. An unlikely couple. Not a Bible college graduate. Nothing wrong with getting a Bible college degree. But they were just used of God to invest in Apollos. Now, who can we invest in? Let's let the Lord lead us. Someone today. This week. Rest of this year. Month. Compassion. Patience.